Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Unbelievable indeed. That's how I feel about every day, Tony. I show up at Everbank and I get to sit across from you and talk NFL and Jaguar football here on 1010 XL 92.5
FM. Good day.
Oh, every day is a good day. Happy Tuesday to you. Jaguars Today on the air. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony will check in at the owners' meetings later on this morning, about an hour and 15 minutes from now. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union out there talking among other members of the media with Dave Caldwell yesterday. Creating a few minor headlines of interest for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll cover those, get into those today with you, including but not limited to what they could have done differently. Should they have done more to get DeMarco Murray on the squad? I think that for the most part that story's written itself, but a little bit more clarification on where they stood in the bidding process.
Yeah.
I think you and I have had a pretty clear picture of where they stood and the fact that they had a level of interest, and it's pretty clear with all their players and everyone they're interested in, they truly are trying to toe the line on whatever they feel like the value of that guy is. And I know people say, well, you still have cap space. Just spend it. Well, you can use that cap space next year on something you might feel like it's more appropriately spent on. And I'm not saying they should always save their cap space for next year. They did try to make a run at DeMarco Murray, but there were very few teams. Apparently one team that felt like he was worth the contract he got, and that was the team that gave it to him. And you know, that's
usually
how it works.
And they got involved late in the process. It was kind of like I would like to see a short story written about what actually happened with DeMarco Murray.
All the real stories behind the scenes, because you and I have heard a few things, and they're kind of interesting, and some we've shared, and some we're not necessarily privy to, but the fact is they made a play. They're moving on. Greg Jennings, could he be on the radar of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Well, I think more so than you should, the fact that you might expect Greg Jennings to show up, it's the fact that the Jags are still interested in adding a veteran type receiver.
They
to
were
the
apparently going to be in on Dwayne Bowe until he signed with Cleveland last week. So.
Thank God Cleveland saved you from that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They're still looking to add a veteran wide receiver, and Greg Jennings seems to be the guy that they may set up a meeting with next. I mean, there seems to be no interest in Michael Crabtree from basically anybody right now.
Well, a lot of people say that the film, now, you know, again, Tony, how many times do you feel like you have to qualify that we're not film junkies? We're not breaking every game in the National Football League down. You watch a lot of the All-22 when it comes to the Jaguars stuff, but we're not breaking down the San Francisco 49er film on a daily basis.
No.
That Michael Crabtree, since his Achilles injury in 2013, it was never a super explosive player to begin with. He was more of a body control, you know, precise route running, good hands kind of guy. He wasn't just, you know, so physically gifted that he was going to blow you away off the line of scrimmage, but what explosion he had may have been taken away, or it's been slow coming back to that degree pre-injury Michael Crabtree when he was, you know, for a stretch, Colin Kaepernick's go-to guy.
And it usually is. Isn't it usually about a full season where you're kind of slowed down by that kind of injury and then you get some of it back?
That's such a tough injury. I don't know if it ever completely comes back.
And by the way, a guy who has good body control and runs pretty good routes, and whether or not he's as explosive as he used to be, sounds like a slot guy to me. I mean, he's a big body that could play in the slot. It sounds like that type of guy to me.
Well, we have no idea what Michael Crabtree's asking price and what his you know, his thoughts on his value are.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's pricing himself out of the market for now.
Well, everybody thinks they're worth more than they're getting. I don't care what you get. Rarely in life do you feel, other than maybe than in sports radio, because anybody in sports radio who doesn't think they're worth actually less than what they're paid is deluding themselves, all right? It's not, we're not saving the world here. We'll get into some of that stuff. Adrian Peterson wants out of Minnesota, which lines up with our question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. What would you give for AP? That's not really what we're asking. I asked specifically, would you give the 36th pick in the draft, this year's second-round pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars, to acquire Adrian Peterson? And I expect a lot of votes on both sides of the equation for a variety of reasons. Some people might be put off by, you know, the reports last year and consider Adrian Peterson a child abuser for what he did to his son. Others may say, you know what, the guy just turned 30, not to mention celebrating with some kind of camel Arabic-themed party. That's a whole other issue. People throwing parties for themselves, all right? Separate issue entirely, Tony. I think you got to question the judgment of anyone who's doing this, right? Someone wants to throw you a party, all right. You know, I can see that. But you're going to clearly, Adrian Peterson's the one ponying up the cash for this, or did Jamie Foxx rent the camel for
right.
the day? Because he made an appearance at AP's 30th birthday party. He's 30 years old, folks, and that may be a legitimate reason. He's had major injury. Yes, he came back strong from major injury, but again, sitting on the shelf, does that help you, or does that, you know, for some people, Tony, they would say, oh, a year away from the game. He's going to be rusty. You know, he's going to lose some of that spring in his legs. We talked about yesterday, some of these veterans, right, what they ran at the NFL scouting combine coming out of college in Indianapolis, and just a few years later, primarily due to inactivity, I'm sure, but their 40 times drop off significantly. They lose that explosiveness. Now, I'm not saying Adrian Peterson is that far removed from his peak, and I'm sure he's been training hard. In fact, they say he's preparing with a vengeance to wreak havoc and extract his vengeance or exact his vengeance on the National Football League for any perceived slights last year. But that could be a reason why you might not want him on board. The price tag could be a reason. He's got $48 million coming for the next 3 years. Is he going to be happy going to any other market? His agents already talked about the market has changed for running backs. Hey, buddy. Really? How many people are going to be lining up to pay Adrian Peterson more than $12 million or $13 million, whatever it is that he's due this year? I know the Bills ripped up LeSean McCoy's deal, so all it takes is one, and they had already had him on the roster. They already traded for him. They owed him $12 million this year. They gave him $16 million to make him feel better about the circumstance.
Right.
Boggles my mind. If you're not feeling good enough about $12 million, I don't know if I want to bring that guy in to my situation either. Is he going to be worth $16 million? Maybe this year, but for how long? And, you know, you're a team like the Jags, you're giving up a pick in the top 40. That's a guy on just about any team that's expected to come in and be a starter, but particularly on a team like the Jags that's won 9 games in the last 3 years, and they sign 6 guys in the first day or so of free agency, and they're all expected to walk in, at least have a reasonable opportunity to compete for a starting job, if not outright be given first consideration for that.
Right. I mean, but this guy is a Hall of Fame type player who's been playing on a team with not much to threaten in the passing game for most of his career and put up the kind of numbers he has. I mean, I'm looking at his page on Pro Football Reference right now, and he's 7th all time in yards per attempt. He's got 5.0 for his career, and that includes quarterbacks, by the way, in that number right now. So if you just looked at running backs, Jamal Charles right now is 5.5 yards a carry. How about that? Jim Brown at 5.2, Mercury Morris at 5.1, and then you have Adrian Peterson in there with Gale Sayers and Barry Sanders at 5.0 per attempt in his career. He averages 98 yards a game. I mean, this guy
he's phenomenal.
Is
he's
going
phenomenal.
Into the Hall of Fame, and he's been doing it again on a team where he's got no help around him for the most part. So for him to have put up the numbers he has is beyond impressive. He's a freak, is what Adrian Peterson is, which is why there's even a consideration that if you gave up a second-round pick to get that guy, it's like, well, let me think about it for half a beat. For me, I know which side of it I still come down on, but I at least have to think about it with a guy who's as good as Adrian Peterson.
If he wasn't as good, if he wasn't who he is, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
No.
You wouldn't be trading a second round pick for a 30-year-old running back with that kind of contract. But the fact that you just laid out the case, he's one of the greatest of all time. And presumably,
and every time that we think it's time for him to slow down, he speeds up.
So I'm saying, presumably he's still got something left in the tank. So that's a question for you out there today, and you're welcome to jump in on the airwaves as well at 641-1010. Tweet us at MD_1010XL or at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler as well. Would you give up that second round pick? That's probably what it would take. You know, the one team, other than Dallas, which has just been kind of like, wow, Jerry Jones would like him, because he saw Adrian Peterson, that story was written over a year ago, that he ran into him and said, boy, I'd love for you to play for the Cowboys one day. So now everyone thinks about, well, are the Cowboys going to maneuver to get him to Dallas? But really, truly, the one team that's been linked to have any serious interest right now is Arizona,
right,
which is said to be willing, or at one point was said to be willing, to offer up a, quote, significant draft pick. What is that? We don't know what that is. But I got to figure, the best they could do is offer up a first-round pick. The difference between their first and the Jags' second is somewhere within the realm of reason. We don't even know that they're willing to give up a first-round pick. Significant could mean a second-round pick for the Arizona Cardinals. So mm-hmm. you're the Jags. You're certainly not giving up the third pick in the draft.
No.
To get a 30-year-old running back. That's silly talk. And quite frankly, I don't think Dave Caldwell is inclined to give up the second round pick in the draft. But we're asking if you were in charge of the purse strings and everything going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, would you make that move? So share your thoughts with us on that. We'll get into the NFL deciding to make it official, no TV blackouts for 2015. It's probably one of the smarter things that Shad Khan and Mark Lamping did when they took over the franchise, Shad Khan buying it and instituting Mark Lamping as president. And that immediately, blackout's not going to be a word in the vocabulary for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Does that mean that every game they sold enough tickets to beat the blackout threshold? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that instead of Shad Khan having to pony up that one-third to the visiting team, that one-third share on the unsold portion of the tickets, he may have still had to do that, but it didn't become a public conversation on a week-in, week-out basis. We didn't have that 1,200 short, Tony. It's nearing Thursday. Will the Jags get a 24-hour extension? All that right. Nonsense that goes with it. You knew the games were going to be on TV. If there was some bullet biting to be done, the organization was going to do it. And I figured, you know, we're going to end up doing it anyway, potentially. Why not put the best PR face on it possible? I think it's one of the smartest overlooked things that they did. It's not the most important thing. Hiring the GM, hiring the coaching staff, hopefully drafting the right quarterback, all those things dwarf that. But just in the, you know, indicative of the way they run the franchise, Shad Khan continues to show you why he has been as successful in business as he's been.
And, you know, Mark Lamping, every year when we do the State of the Jaguars, shows, you know, where the Jags as a fan base basically stand against all these other cities and their fan bases. And I think you need to expose the people of Jacksonville to your product as much as you possibly can. And that includes having it on TV, even if there isn't 70,000 people sitting in the stadium on a Sunday. You need your game to be on TV so that when people that live here that don't have that package, the Sunday ticket, are watching NFL football, they're watching the Jaguars and at least being exposed to your product. And I think that was part of the thinking on their part, too, is we're trying to become a stronger part of this community as an NFL fan base. We need them to see what we're doing on Sundays in order for that to be ingrained. And they've done that since they got here. And hopefully the wins start coming in 2015.
And as far as the local community, I'm talking about the Duval County community, goes, and I understand you're out there, all you Duval Till We Die people that are spread throughout the United States of America and around the globe, you're not necessarily going to get to watch that football game against the Buffalo Bills on TV. You will hear locally.
Yeah.
You will in the city of Buffalo. But outside of that, you better have a nice high-speed internet connection. And, you know, in today's day and age, I just kind of assume that everybody has that, you know. And not everybody does have that. Certainly, look, not everybody has cable, for one thing. Certainly not everybody has high-speed internet. There will come a point in time in society where high-speed internet is as prolific as probably having basic cable TV was at a certain point. You know what I mean? Society and technology will catch up to that point and the saturation point, and the NFL realizes it's coming. And so what are they doing? They're taking one game that they figure, well, who is going to be least affected by this? How many out-of-market fans do the Jags and Bills have compared to the rest of the league? And that number is probably pretty small. So while if you're Bold City Brigade Phoenix or Bold City Brigade LA or all these other people I see out there on Twitter representing the Jaguars, all right, you're not happy about it, and rightfully, understandably so, but there's probably less of you out there, at least the NFL figures, to piss off with this move, because sure, they're trying to see, can we force people to go to these alternate platforms? And here's one thing, Tony. They can control that content. They can sell it. They're going to partner with YouTube. They're going to partner with Google. They're going to partner with Facebook. They're going to find distributors and create new revenue streams. And that's what the NFL is masterful in doing. No matter how bad a PR year they had. Did they lose money last year at the National Football League?
Doubt it.
I don't think so. I think they did quite well for themselves. All right, 641-1010. The number, if you'd like to get on board, we're live at EverBank as we are every day. We'll take your calls on any myriad of topics having to do with the Jags or the National Football League. We'll hear some comments from Dave Caldwell coming up, and in about a little over an hour from now, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, joins us live from Phoenix for the NFL owners' meetings with all the latest out there. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. J. Jaguars today live from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you all week long. David Garrard's going to be in later this week. I believe Thursday is going to fit his schedule. And Osier and O'Halloran out at the owners' meetings. We'll check in with Ryan O. from the Florida Times-Union about an hour from now on all the latest scuttlebutt impacting your Jacksonville Jaguars and the rest of the National Football League. Get a call or two in before we get to some comments from Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager yesterday. Gus Bradley sitting down with some of the Jacksonville media right now out in Phoenix. We hope to bring you some of those comments coming up here shortly as well. 641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in on Adrian Peterson. Just throwing out the idea of the Jags, let's say, giving a second-round pick this year, the 36th overall pick in the draft. By the way, if you're wondering why is it 36, if there are 32 teams and the Jags have the third pick, well, the third pick in the odd-numbered rounds,
right,
and the fourth pick in the even-numbered rounds. So it'll alternate round by round throughout the draft, and that's based on tiebreakers. You end up with the same record as the Oakland Raiders, and the tiebreaker indicates the Jags get the earlier pick in round one, and then it flip-flops from there on out. If there were three teams, for instance, if the Jags had the first, they'd go to the end of that three-team line in round two. I believe that, didn't that happen, was that last year? That was the circumstance?
I believe so, yeah.
I think that was the case, right? Yeah. Tied with maybe three or four teams last year. It's just one of the little quirks of the way they divvy it up.
And 2 years ago, they were rotating back and forth between the first and second pick in the rounds, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right, they had the second pick when they drafted Jokel. They had the first pick when they took Jonathan Cyprian, and so on and so forth. So unless you have a standalone record of whatever it is, if it's matched by somebody else, you're going to be in this kind of circumstance. So they own the fourth pick in round two. And look, I don't think Caldwell would go that direction. We're asking, would you be in favor of the Jags going that direction if the Minnesota Vikings were amenable? First of all, I wonder what it would take to get him away. Because if I'm Minnesota, man, sometimes I just wish these teams would hold firm more than they do. You know, they always cave. Guys hold out. They don't fine them. They always forgive the fines. They always let them do whatever. You know, I don't understand the mindset of we got to make this guy feel better about the millions of dollars that he signed to play here for. Oh, the market has changed. Hey, guess what? So has Adrian Peterson. He didn't play last year. We paid you for not playing. And by the way, the one game you did play, you averaged about 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But on the other side of it, too, I think the teams and the owners have so much more power in the NFL than they do comparatively in any other sport that when they do give a little bit in those kind of situations, I'm okay with it, honestly, because the players have. I mean, I think the NFL Players Union is as weak a players union as there is in pro sports.
Whose fault is that?
No, I mean, it's their own fault. So when the players or the teams do give a little bit for their star players, I'm all right with it because they don't have to and they don't give when they don't want to in that league more than any other. This is not a league that is run by the inmates. It's just not. This league is run by the owners and the teams,
the gatekeepers of the asylum.
Yeah.
The case may be.
Yeah, it is run by them, not the players.
641-1010 is the number. Let's go with Rich to lead us off this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Wanted to talk about the AP situation. I mean, in a fan perspective, I would say, yeah, just because I'm getting, you know, you as a fan, you get tired of waiting to see your Jaguars pick up a name or get some help for Blake or anything, you know, just to have some kind of recognition saying that we are a team that got somebody. As general manager, second round pick, nah. Third round pick, maybe. Fourth round pick, yeah. But I mean, second round pick for 30-year-old general manager speaking, no, I wouldn't do it.
All right, so that'd be a bit of a sliding scale for you there, and I think Rich was honest. He just recognized there's a difference sometimes when you're a fan. You just want that guy. You don't have to worry. Your job is not on the line, put it that way.
Right.
That in 3 years, they're going to come to you and say, hey, how'd you get in this bad salary cap situation, right? By the way, that's not a fear, really, for the Jags, but that doesn't mean that they're going to exceed what they feel is the value for that player. You know what? They may feel that Adrian Peterson's value is $12 million a year, or $48 million over the next three, which averages out to $16 million. At least I think that's the cap hit, if not the actual dollars that he's going to get. They may feel he's worth that if the guy's a special player. You know, I know Dave Caldwell, if he really feels the guy is a special player in his prime, that's the other factor, has no problem. You know, he's talked to us, Tony, about a guy like J.J. White. He's like, yeah, guy's worth every penny he gets. You couldn't really overpay a guy like that.
Right.
Who comes and plays hard every week and makes the impact on the game that he does. So I'm quite sure that, you know, if he feels like he's worth it, that wouldn't be the issue. But then you factor in the 30-year-old thing. What if, and I don't think it's likely at this point in time, but we're basing a lot of this on speculative mock drafts and scuttlebutt. What if Todd Gurley's sitting there at 36? Would you rather have a half a productive rookie season and then a presumably healthy Todd Gurley? Todd Gurley tore his ACL, so did AP, right? Todd Gurley's career shouldn't be any more in the dumper than Adrian Peterson's career just because he tore an ACL.
Right.
He's younger, in fact, when he did it, so he should bounce back quite nicely. I don't think he's necessarily the super special athlete that AP is, but he's a pretty special athlete in his own right. What if that guy's sitting there at 36? Wouldn't you much rather have that guy at 36 under a 4-year rookie deal, and the money you're going to pay him, you're going to pay him less over 4 years than you'd pay AP over one season.
You'd rather have that.
Of course you'd rather have that. So, I mean, those are the kind of things you try to factor in. Doesn't mean Todd Gurley's going to be the guy who's there. But if he were, that's a much more palatable situation for just about any GM.
And I'd probably rather have Jay Ajayi or whatever in the third or fourth round than I would give up a second-round pick for Adrian Peterson. That's me.
Just as
that's
debatable. Just in terms of the money factors in with me, the age factors in. There are a lot of things that go into it. By the way, I probably wouldn't get the second rounder up. I wouldn't get the second rounder up under the current full set of circumstances. And to me, it's the whole child abuse thing is like the last thing on the list that I even get to. There are plenty of football reasons, I think, not to make that move, but share your thoughts with us on that. Let me get Chris up next here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. How about yourselves?
Good. What's up?
Hey, actually, instead of AP, I actually had a little different one that I have been thinking about for a while, seeing how it's been the Leo position as the biggest one that everybody's pointing us to get to in the draft. You know, there's a guy in Miami that they don't know how to use that can get out and cover wide with Calvin Johnson and rush the passer like some of the best. And, I mean, I would not mind swapping first-round picks 3 to 14, get Deion Jordan, in which 14 is still respectable enough to get one of those top two running backs and not have to take them too early or lose a top running back when it comes to the later second round, you know, towards the second round. Just want to know what y'all's take was
on that. I would question your characterization of Deion Jordan as getting at, you know, pass rushing with the best in the league. We don't know if he can do that. He hasn't done it. I mean, he's been completely, you know, practically completely ineffective. He's had 3 sacks in 2 seasons. And, he played 10 games last year. He's only had 1 start in 2 years. Is that because he's being blocked from, you know, producing? Has he not been in the right situation? Or maybe he's not as good as they thought he was when they drafted him. Now, maybe, you know, he fits in better this year. Things get shaken up, and Ndamukong Suh should make things easier for whomever is trying to rush the passer in Miami.
Right.
But I don't know specifically how Dave Caldwell feels about Deion Jordan. That doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who he would consider a drop out of the top 10 to make that move for.
No, and I'm not sure that Miami wants to make that kind of move either. On the other side, I'm not sure that you're moving up with what they already have on that defensive line as far as guys that are able to get off the passer. I get wanting to get a young pass rusher, but for that team, it seems to me the need would be in secondary or wide receiver or that kind of area more so. And I think at 14, you may be able to get the best or the second best corner in this draft
or a pretty good wide receiver there as well. And I think they're in a good spot as well. And that's part of it. Look, we sit here and throw these speculative things out too. We don't know if Minnesota would take a second round pick for Adrian Peterson.
No.
I suspect they would, but it doesn't stop us from doing it. So I don't have a problem with you proposing a deal. I just don't think, like you said, I don't think he's the guy. I don't think Miami would necessarily want to do it from their standpoint either. Does he have potential? I guess he does. I mean, but it's certainly unfulfilled potential up to this point in time.
He's a great athlete.
He's
that's what we know about him. He's a great athlete.
And there have been plenty of great athletes that come into the National Football League that don't turn out to be great football players. Don't know. Maybe he will blossom this year. He's only 24 years old right now, but three sacks in two seasons, not the kind of productivity I'm looking to trade out of the top 10 for. It's going to take a haul. Knowing Dave Caldwell a little bit, if the Jags get a trade down scenario, let's say Leonard Williams goes two to Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and Marcus Mariota is there. And I saw a little story, Tony, a lot of speculation at the owners' meetings that all the negative stuff coming out about Mariota is the surest sign that there are several teams that really like this guy right now, right? They're highlighting, oh, he didn't have the greatest pro day. Well, neither did Bridgewater. He seemed to do fine for himself last year. Jamarcus Russell's pro day was supposed to be the most eye-popping performance of all time. So that's not the only barometer. But let's say the Jags were sitting there at three and Mariota's on the board. They don't want him. Leonard Williams is gone. There's a handful of guys, handful of pass rushers they like. I think it would take an all, you know, I know we had fun taking a look at would Philadelphia like to swoop up from number 20 and would they give us two drafts full of picks here in Jacksonville? And, it would take something like that for Dave Caldwell, I think, to move out of the top 10. I think he believes in trying to land another elite player. And however deep that list is for him of elite players that would fit here, and because he may consider Winston and Mariota elite players, but he's certainly not going to draft a QB in the top 10. It's going to take a lot for him to go beyond his comfort zone if there is a trade down. I mean, you just look at last year. He had the opportunity to trade down, I think it was to six with Atlanta, and didn't want to risk missing out on Blake Bortles. Now, that is the QB.
Right.
And maybe that makes you a little more hesitant than other positions, but if you like five or six pass rushers and maybe a wide receiver too, there, say there's eight guys you're comfortable with, maybe you feel like I could drop 10 spots because they're not all going to come off the board in that exact order, but it's going to take a lot to move him out of that sure thing category.
Sure, and I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but Pete Prisco has his newest mock draft on CBSSports.com, and he actually has a trade in there for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And how about we'll let you know what trade, where they did drop down to here in just a moment.
All right, we'll do that coming up next, and we will hear from Dave Caldwell next as well. His comments to the assembled media out in Phoenix for the owners' meeting. It's straight ahead, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today continues live from Everbank Field here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Coming up, by the way, later this morning, we've got a gift certificate for 50 wings at Hooters.
Cool.
We'll give that away before the show is done. We'll also have Ryan O'Halloran stop by via the miracle of modern telephonic technology from Phoenix, Arizona. It'll be fantastic. Update on what's happening at the owners' meeting. So we've got Dave Caldwell sound bites from yesterday, but since you teased it so ably heading into the break right there, Tony, Pete Prisco put a mock draft out right as we're coming on the air this morning. I was looking at his previous rendition from last week. He's mm-hmm. doing, you know, CBS and NFL Draft Scouter having these guys basically update him once a week.
Well, we're five and a half. We're, what, 37 days out?
Yeah, it's coming.
It's here.
But they've been doing it for a while now. Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty much a weekly thing for a number of those guys. Pete, last week, had given the Jags Dante Fowler with the second pick and had him trading up to grab Eli Harold, an outside linebacker from Virginia, had him trading into the 20th pick. Instead of Philly moving up from 20 to the Jags pick, the Jags moved from outside the first round to get a second first-round pick in last week's rendition. This time around, Pete has him dropping down, and we talked about it's probably going to take a lot to get the Jags outside that top 10. Well, without getting into speculating what the compensation would be, Pete has him trading down in this rendition of the mock draft all the way to exactly pick 10 mm-hmm. with the St. Louis Rams, where you feel, again, are a number of these guys, these pass rushers, going to come off the board? Tony, a few weeks ago, I forget who did the mock draft. It might have been at NFL.com. I'm not sure. It was Sporting News did the mock draft where it was definitely outside the box, had the Jags taking Bud Dupree.
Yep.
The hybrid linebacker defensive end out of Kentucky, pass rusher, with the third overall pick. In this scenario, the Jags would trade down and get Bud Dupree, which is a guy you and I have talked about. he's been speculated to come off the board in a wide range of spots. And there are even scenarios where if you did trade down all the way down to, say, the 20th pick, that he's still sitting there on the board, which would be ideal. But in this case, they would grab him. And if, funnily enough to me, Pete, then despite the fact that he had Dante Fowler and Eli Harold with the Jags trading up last week, well, here they get Bud Dupree instead of Dante Fowler. But then he dropped the scenario where the Jags trade into the first round, despite the fact that they'd have more ammo
right.
to do exactly that in this scenario, because they'd be picking up, you would presume, a second-round pick plus more. I think it would take more than a second-round pick for Dave Caldwell to drop from 3 to 10. Miami, coincidentally enough, we're talking about Deion Jordan earlier, that's exactly what they gave up to move up to the third pick. Was it with Philly a few years ago? Who had the third pick behind the Jags when the Jags took Jokel?
Was it Oakland?
Might have been Oakland.
And they moved down
and they got
to Hayden. Hayden. Yeah.
Right, DJ Hayden, the cornerback. That's who it was. You're exactly
right.
They just
got a second-round pick.
Right, it was for a straight second-round pick, which seemed like pretty reasonable compensation to come up from 13 to 3. So why wouldn't it be reasonable? I'm not saying it wouldn't be reasonable. I just don't know if Dave Caldwell would be comfortable. I get the sense Dave Caldwell, pretty conservative on the values that he places on things. Now, clearly, he identified guys he wanted in free agency. He went out there and aggressively got them. I don't mean he sits on his hands, but he's going to do that within the framework of the value that he places on that guy for this roster, whereas, you know, not as financially aggressive with DeMarco Murray. I just think, again, he sets his price much like he's going to have his group of guys, and maybe that group will be 10 deep, that he feels like if you count the two QBs coming off the board, there are going to be eight players I'd be happy with my first-round pick, and that's the range. But if it's six instead of eight, to get outside of that six-pick range, I think it's going to take more than a second-round pick.
Well, and if they really are looking at trying to get a pass rusher, defensive lineman, one of those guys, there's probably six of them that you'd be okay with. And again, we don't know what their evaluation
right.
of those players are.
There might be four of those six
right.
that they like.
But it's funny to me. I think the Jaguars are in a position that they haven't been in for the first 2 years that Caldwell was here, where I think they have a little more flexibility with what they can do in the draft because of the needs they have filled on this roster. They have a little more flexibility than they've had going into past drafts. And Bud Dupree, being the guy that they trade down in this scenario and get, he's a wild card. To me, there's always one or two players that you feel like could go anywhere in this big range of picks, right? Bud Dupree is a guy this year that, to me, feels like maybe he is the guy that Jacksonville falls the most in love with, that Caldwell likes the most. So could he potentially go three? I think there is a chance that he could go three, even if the Jaguars sit there at three. I also think there's a chance that he falls down into the 20s. I think he's that type of player in this year's draft. I've talked about it now for about a month. If I were the Jags and were looking to trade back, that's the kind of guy that I'm targeting, is a guy like Bud Dupree. That's the I'm moving back into a position where I feel like I can still get this guy because that's the guy that I'm looking to get.
But the question then becomes,
who else loves
right.
him?
Right. And how do you feel about Shane Ray, for instance, right?
I'm
not talking about you. I mean, if you're Dave Caldwell, how do you feel about Shane Ray?
Right.
Who is being projected, say, anywhere from the 5th to the 15th pick, right? Somewhere in that range. And do you count on him coming off the board before your pick comes up in a trade-down scenario? Because if you don't like him, that's what you want to have happening. Can you count on that happening? How do you feel about Vic Beasley? Maybe you think he's phenomenal. Right. A lot of people like him at three. Maybe the Jags think he's a workout warrior. Now, obviously, he was productive. But maybe they just, whatever reason,
sure.
don't like him as much as some other team might like.
But that's why
him.
You have reason to be conservative if you're Caldwell. It is because you can look at it and say, at three, even if Leonard Williams comes off the board at two, at three, we can get our favorite pass rusher in this draft. We don't have to we can get our favorite player that gets after the passer in this entire draft. And if we trade down beyond that, now we're playing a bit of a guessing game as to what's going to be available to us. Now, how much do we like this guy compared to that guy? Who knows what Dave Caldwell thinks about all these different guys and the scenarios, which they're going over. Believe us, they're going over the course of the next 5 weeks. But they have the opportunity, staying at three, even if Leonard Williams comes off the board, to get their favorite pass rusher in this draft that may be deep at that position, but you can't go get your guy if you trade down necessarily.
And that's the question, because we may sit here and say, well, they could still get X or Y or Z. Well, what if they really feel that W is the guy,
yeah,
and they don't want X or Y or Z? And, you know, we sit here going into draft, say, well, they could have had this, they could have had that if they just sat there, but how many of those guys are going to pan out? Well, you can't guarantee that the one guy you're in love with is going to pan out, but you have to have the courage of your convictions and go by what you believe and make that pick, and not just go by what the consensus is so you don't get killed in post-draft commentary.
Yeah.
Oof.
You don't know.
It's
like,
coming.
Like, nobody around them knew that the Jaguars wanted Bortles as badly as they did. They didn't know, right? So you don't know what anybody else around you is thinking. You have no idea. I mean, we all kind of feel like the Raiders are probably going to be looking wide receiver, right? Because they drafted a quarterback last year. But who knows what they're really thinking. Washington is going to be looking at an edge rusher. Who's to say that Bud Dupree isn't the top guy on their board if that's the guy you're trading down to target?
You don't know.
You don't know, which is when you trade down, you have to be almost comfortable with option A, B, and C.
You have to have a list. Yeah. I mean, you really do. If you're trading out of 10 and you presume the two quarterbacks are off the board, and well, obviously, in that scenario, they're going to be because Winston would have gone and St. Louis is coming up to get Mariota. So you have to have eight guys that you could say, if
right,
in a worst-case scenario, if the top seven came off the board on my list, can I live with the eighth guy plus whatever else I got?
Yeah.
My guess is that I could live with that. I could live with the 10th overall pick in this year's draft if you gave me, let's say, a second and a fifth rounder,
yeah,
on top of that.
And it's okay if Dave Caldwell isn't. Right? It's okay if he's not.
He's convicted. His job on the line.
Right. If he's convicted, he just has to be right about that conviction on that player. It's his job to be right about that particular player if he's not willing to move down for that compensation.
Right. People still tell you they should have traded down and still gotten Bortles. You don't know that. How do you know Cleveland? You can't know that Cleveland wouldn't have taken him with the very next pick. And they end up trading back in, so Buffalo can come up and get Sammy Watkins, but maybe if Bortles is sitting there, they don't make that move. You're not going to take that risk, particularly with a quarterback, if you really believe in the guy.
No.
All right, here's Dave Caldwell yesterday. Ryan O'Halloran asked him if they exceeded the initial line they said in terms of DeMarco Murray's value, and it's a little exchange on what Philly was offering compared to what Jacksonville offered.
Did you exceed your point, your line at all, or did you stay hold to it?
We probably exceeded it, and then we bagged out of it pretty quickly late on Tuesday night, and never really engaged back into it, and kind of read between the lines that we probably weren't his first choice, and if we were his first choice, we probably would have made it happen.
Did he get from Philly, did that exceed what you offered?
Yes.
By?
A large amount.
See, average million a year, $2 million a year?
More than that. I'll leave it at that.
So, look, it's more than $2 million a year,
yeah,
right? So speculation has been maybe they offered him 5 years, $5 million per, right? Keep in mind, whatever they offered him is highly likely that that's the base. Here's what you're guaranteed to make if you play out this contract, and with the opportunity to get closer to what you're looking for if you perform like a Pro Bowler. Hey, you play like a Pro Bowler, we're going to pay you like a Pro Bowler, but we want some insurance so you incentivize that contract, Tony. As far as Dave Caldwell knew, they had a better offer than the Dallas Cowboys on the table. You look at the Cowboys, and you're sitting there saying, wait a minute. How close are we to the Super Bowl? We're pretty damn close, right? We feel like we're close.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarco Murray just had the best running back season maybe in the history of the franchise, at least in terms of total rushing yards, and they're not willing to go beyond that number. The Jags, to my understanding, had a better offer. Oakland had the most aggressive offer until Philadelphia came in, and the feeling is he really didn't want to play for Oakland or Jacksonville. And he got what he wanted. In his mind, a contending team that's won 20 games over the last 2 years, and the kind of money he was looking for.
Yeah. I mean, good for DeMarco with the way that it worked out for him, I guess. And it's fun to get these little tidbits of information as they come out about what the Jaguars actually were doing in their pursuit of a guy like DeMarco Murray. Dave Caldwell speaking on Jaguars.com. He was also asked by a reporter about replacing a quarter of the starters on his team in free agency.
Well, we never really looked at it like
that's
that. Yeah,
out.
Yeah. So hopefully they all come in and start, right? But there's no guarantees with that either. We have some young guys, too, that certain positions that will compete. But a couple of them, I know, you know, Julius, Jared, and, you know, Jeremy, those guys are pretty much slotted as starters. And the other guys, Dan Scuda, Sergio Brown, and House, those guys will have a chance to rotate too, and they're not going to get all the snaps, but they'll get the majority of them.
Yeah, well, some of that is due to the fact that, you know, at cornerback you do rotate a little bit, but House would have to fall on his face to not be the number one corner to open the season.
Probably,
I mean,
yeah.
It would be a major disappointment to the organization, and it should be to Jaguar fandom everywhere if Devon House is not opening as one of your two starting outside corners. By the way, all this audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com, who do a tremendous job covering these kind of things. In fact, they had Gus Bradley on today with the coach's breakfast going on. You can check out that audio at Jaguars.com. We hope to bring you a few cuts of that later in the show as well. Dave Caldwell speaking about this point 2 weeks in free agency, kind of slowing down after some of the early splashes have gone by.
There's still guys out there. There's still talented players out there. And when we get back here at the end of this week and begin next week, we'll regroup as our personnel staff and our coaching staff and see what's out there and where we can improve.
One thing they're talking about doing, Tony, and it makes a ton of sense, I think, from both perspectives, is, you know, they've got the June 1st designation. You can designate a cut as being a post-June 1st cut, and it impacts your salary cap next year as opposed to this year. Also, mm-hmm. if you sign guys and you wait until after June 1st, a la Baltimore did with Daryl Smith a few years ago, that does not count against you in the computations for compensatory picks, and that list came out yesterday. The Jags didn't get any because they didn't lose anybody of significance last year. And this year, even if they were, let's say they had lost people, well, they signed a Julius Thomas. That's going to offset. So you're not going to get compensatory picks if you have a net addition in free agency. But they're talking about moving that line up to May 1st, which makes a lot more sense. What's wrong with April 1st, for that matter? Why, after another week goes by, the market's pretty settled. Why not let them? And I guess right. It's a post-draft kind of thing, and you try to sort out after you fill holes in the draft what you want to do. But at least that would give those guys a clear picture of where they're going to go to work, and teams wouldn't have to sit around and wait and hope somebody doesn't, you know, come along and poach this guy in the middle of May as I'm trying to wait to June 1st to get him. Just makes sense. Why not speed up the calendar a little bit?
Sure. Dave Caldwell speaking, courtesy of Jaguars.com. It came out last week after Dwayne Bowe signed in Cleveland that the Jags may have had some interest in pursuing Dwayne Bowe.
I haven't questioned Dave Caldwell's judgment on much, but if they truly had interest in Dwayne Bowe, I'm going to question that. Because I'm telling you, it's almost become a joke, but there's a reason I dislike Dwayne Bowe as a player. It's because the guy quits. I mean, I've seen it time and again. The guy will not lay out if he's going to take a big hit. If his team's getting beat, he quits. He goes in the tank. He just played for a team that had zero touchdown receptions by wide receivers last year, and Cleveland just paid him to basically come in as their number one guy. I want nothing to do with Dwayne Bowe. Consider yourself lucky that he's not a Jacksonville Jaguar. One guy who is, at least for the time being, Bernard Pierce. Here is Dave Caldwell's thoughts on the former Ravens running back.
Bernard is a player that we followed since he came out of college, and there was just really not a lot of risk in doing it outside of the off-the-field incident. And with that, we just felt like it was an isolated incident. Our research showed that he's been a good, upstanding citizen at Baltimore and through college, and he's going into a contract year, so it's a you know, it's kind of his last chance here. And he's more than talented enough to do it. He's 6'1". He's 230 pounds. He's a downhill runner. And he'll provide good competition in training camp.
Interesting, the comments there of Dave Caldwell on Bernard Pierce, who they claimed off waivers last week. Finally, from Dave Caldwell on Jaguars.com, he was asked, Cecil Shorts, why he's not back here? Was it an injury history thing, or is he focusing on that young wide receiver core?
Probably a combination of both. We had some good talks with Cecil even the day before free agency started, and just told him that we'll help him any way we can help him. And, you know, he's a great guy, great character guy. I believe that he's going to make Jacksonville his home. I sent him a text right after he signed with Houston, congratulate him, and wish him the best with his opportunity.
Well, wish he would have picked another team. Makes it a little bit easier to root for the continued success or the future success of Cecil Shorts, being that he's in the division. But Cecil's a good doobie. You know, got nothing against that guy. He's a hard worker. And as long as it doesn't come at the expense of the Jags, may Cecil Shorts get everything he wants out of his career in the National Football League. All right, we got to take a quick time out. Some of the thoughts of Dave Caldwell yesterday from the owners' meetings, again, courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com, who continue to do a tremendous job covering all these events that are relevant to the Jags whenever they're on the road like this. Coming up next, this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's Jaguars Today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, it was on this date, 1973, when San Francisco 49er president Lou Spadia proposed the NFL expand to 30 teams. At the time, 26 teams were in the National Football League. Tony, mini pop quiz coming your way.
What was the date on that?
1973. I need the six expansion franchises that have joined the National Football League since 1973. What do you got?
Well, that would be the Houston Texans.
That would be, are you working backwards chronologically?
I am. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Carolina Panthers.
Correct.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Does Cleveland count since they left and came back?
They do not count.
Okay.
They were a suspended franchise, by the way, technically.
Is that what they call it?
They call it a suspended franchise, suspended activities. And that's happened more than once in the long history of the National Football League, by the way.
Tennessee Titans, or is that?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
That is a relocation.
Yes. Carolina, I mentioned. Who else do we have?
You're so young.
I know.
I'm just going to give you the Bucks.
Was that since then? I forgot that was
76.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks. Both came in at the same time. I didn't know if you'd get the Ravens because the whole thing, they took the players from Cleveland, put them
in
Baltimore,
yeah,
but dubbed them an expansion franchise, a brand new franchise, as the Cleveland Browns were suspended from operations for 3 years in the 1990s. That's what you got, and that's all you'll get on this date in football
Manning's
history.
Birthday, isn't it?
Is it Peyton's birthday? We don't celebrate that around here.
I think so.
The old five head. maybe he'll have a big screen projection on his forehead of Adrian Peterson riding a camel.
Perhaps.
It's a birthday celebration for all.
If that doesn't exist yet, it should.
Get
on it, Jacksonville.
Come on, let's do that. Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive Cosmetic Dentistry brings you this date in football history all week long. Call them at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Yeah, Peyton Manning, 39 years old today. Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel, who checked himself into rehab in January, is expected to be back with the team for offseason workouts starting later next month, April 20th. The Indianapolis Colts, according to Jim Irsay, who would be the authority on these kinds of things, apparently are going to wait until after the 2015 season before they start to talk contract extension with Andrew Luck. The Colts still have Luck for one more season on his rookie deal, which will pay him a base salary of $3.4 million this season. The organization did basically the same thing with Peyton Manning, despite the fact that everyone knew they were going to get something done with Peyton, waited until they just couldn't wait no more to get that kind of thing done. J.J. Watt has restructured his mega deal to help out the Texans with their cap. Watt had a roster bonus this year converted to a signing bonus, meaning that Watt will still get a $10 million chunk of money, but that $10 million will be divided up over the next 5 years, creating $8 million of cap space for the team. While the cost, J.J. Watt will not lose a single solitary cent in the whole deal.
Nice.
But it creates cap space.
Yeah. Creates cap space, and we'll see. You know, if they don't use it now, they can roll it over to next year. Why would you give Andrew Luck an extension now if you've got another year to go?
Yeah, you know you're going to pay him $18 to $20 million a year as opposed to three.
So why not save that money for the next year, and he's still going to get his money? He's just, you know, I mean, look, if you want to do it, do whatever you like. You know, more power to whoever can get that money. But for goodness sakes, you have him under contract. I don't know too many other businesses that rip up your contract with 2 years to go and give you more money right now. I get it with a year left. You don't want to wait. You don't want to get it to the point where it's uncomfortable. Do we have to franchise this guy? Is he going to play hardball with us? So you do it next off season when you've got a little bit of wiggle room. You've got,
sure,
you know, you're the only team that can negotiate with him. He's not going anywhere. We all know that. They'll make him the highest paid player, I would suspect, in the National Football League. By the way, I retweeted this out. I don't know how many people this affects. Certainly not in the direct Duval County area, but someone named on Twitter at Cal Jaguar. I assume that's a Jaguar fan in California. I'm guessing. Tweeted to me about a petition out there to get the Bills-Jags game on national television on DirecTV. For Jag fans and Bill fans that are not in the city where their team plays, if
right.
you're, you know, a Jaguar fan in Montana, you're not going to get to see your team play on television. You get to see them play on the internet only for the first time for that game. Personally, there's, I think, a 0% chance of that. Even I don't care how many signatures you got on. Well, but if you got 20 million signatures on a petition, or I don't know what the number is, maybe there's a point.
Sure.
It ain't going to happen. All right. No. There's not nearly enough. The NFL is intent on doing this. They're not trying to punish fans of this team. They're trying to
try something.
Well, they're trying it, though, to kind of get you prepared for what's to come, because there will come a time when certain games might only be available. And if they could get, let's say they took less money from DirecTV to be on DirecTV, and DirecTV got 80% of the games, and then the other 20% of the games, they got more than the 20% DirecTV was paying for them from YouTube. I don't know who's their new broadcast partner. Now they're getting three times as much for that segment. Well, that's more money. That's the bottom line, and that's what they're all about. So they have to balance, you know, do we want to alienate the fan base who don't all, you know, not all up to 100% speed on technology? It's never going to be 100% saturation. Heck, there are people that don't have TVs, for that matter, but they're on their own, you know.
And maybe it's kind of a feeling out process for a potential almost like pay-as-you-go feature for the NFL where they can use a streaming service to say, all right, you want to watch this game on Sunday, it's going to be this much. Instead of paying for the Sunday ticket, you're paying, you know, $8 or $10 or whatever it is that week for that game, and you may be doing that every week for different games, but at least it opens the NFL that door a little bit for them. And look, it's not going to cost you anything if you live in those areas to see the game. It doesn't sound like right now. It's just you're going to have to be able to stream it to watch the game. That's the difference.
Correct.
They're trying to make you watch it online as opposed to on your satellite feed.
Right. And, you know, Mike just tweeted us, said, confused, will the Jags-Bills game be on regular TV locally?
Yes.
It will. Yes. I didn't mean to confuse you. I'm talking to, we know people, there are the segment portion of the listenership of the show in 1010XL comes from outside the market. Those are the ones it's going to impact. Or if you happen to be traveling that week when the Jags are in London this year, taking on the Buffalo Bills, which I think we've talked about it a little bit. They're changing the travel schedule again this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they tried going Monday. They tried going Sunday this past year. Now they're going to practice here in Jacksonville Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday, get on the plane to London, arrive Friday morning, basically walk through on Friday, play the game Sunday. They haven't had good results the first few times. Why not mix it up? And they won't be the first team to travel that late in the week, by
absolutely.
The way.
Absolutely.
And try to get it done. All right. Coming up next, we'll go live to Phoenix. Ryan O'Halloran, intrepid reporter from the Florida Times-Union, will join us with all the latest from the owners' meetings. This is Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Coming up in a few minutes, Ryan O'Halloran joins us from the Florida Times-Union out in Phoenix for the NFL owners' meetings, and tied up with some kind of interview right now, Tony. What is more important than Jaguars Today?
I'm sure he's talking to Gus.
Prioritize.
Like after the whole AFC coaches breakfast, I'm sure he's walking out with them getting a chance to chat.
Let's not wait to hear what Gus has to say. This is courtesy of Jaguars.com. Gus sitting down at the AFC coaches breakfast at the owners' meetings today was asked to give a quick review of Blake Bortles' rookie season.
You know, I think he started off really strong. You know, the first couple of games he played, and then he dipped. You know, whether teams started to watch a lot of film on him, starting to figure out. And he struggled there for a while, but we struggled as a team. And then, you know, in the second half of the season, the last five or six games, he picked it up again. And, you know, I think that's what's feeding his offseason.
Gus also continued talking about Blake, talking about the work he's putting in this offseason. We saw the picture of some of them this weekend of them out in California working with some of the young guys.
What I'm hearing from players is he's doing a great job, really competing, throwing every day, meeting with players around the league, a couple quarterbacks from other teams, getting their offseason routine down. So, yeah, he's everything we'd hope for as far as mentality and competitiveness.
Honestly, it's so silly, and I'm sure he's probably telling the truth, but he's very careful the way he phrased it, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I can't talk to the guy right now, right? So from what I'm hearing, from whatever source I may be hearing it from, Blake's doing all the right things out there. And that doesn't that just seem ridiculous? I get why they do it. So there's not this sense that, you know, all this involuntary stuff, it's the players trying to protect themselves against management and the coaching staffs that, you know, you've got these voluntary mini camps. Wink, wink. They're not really voluntary if you want to have a chance to make the team. Unless you're a superstar, you better show up. So the idea that you can't have this contact with the coaches in certain periods of the offseason is more to allow the players to enforce the off part of the offseason.
Right.
You know, but here's a case where a guy probably wouldn't mind chatting with his incoming offensive coordinator. Let me tell you how I'm doing. He's got that mentality, and yet he's restricted from doing that if he chooses to. I understand the rationale behind it, but it can be frustrating when you're in a situation where probably your quarterback is gung-ho to talk a little football. The plan for Blake Bortles last year, Tony, we heard quite often, was let him sit for the whole year. All right, that's the ideal. Chad Henne's going to take the season. Blake's going to learn. The plan obviously changed along the way, and Gus talked about that plan changing for Blake Bortles.
We had hoped that he would go the whole year, and you know, Chad Henne would be our starter. But as we went through OTAs and training camp, you could see, you know, we were on this race to maturity, trying to speed up this learning process for him, and just felt like at that time of the season, you know, really the rest of the time he needed to be on the game field. So now looking back at it, I'm glad he did get that experience.
Sound courtesy of Jaguars.com. Gus Bradley speaking just about here in the last hour or so at the AFC Coaches Breakfast there at the owners' meetings. Also talked about the challenge that is presented in free agency, trying to, just because you have a lot of money to spend doesn't mean you have to spend it, trying to find the right way to spend that money.
Some of these guys I didn't meet. I didn't have a chance. They didn't come into our facility. After we signed them, that was the first time I met with them. So how do you know how they're going to fit in your locker room? You hear, you may talk to other players, or you know, or maybe some of our players. Zane Beatles was on our team, and he knew Julius, but other than that, so it's hard with free agency.
And that is something we kind of overlook a little bit, because we talk about Gus's personality being a selling point and all that. Well, if you get the opportunity to use it.
Right.
Right? He didn't with Julius Thomas. Julius Thomas said, I just met the guy today. He seems like a really fun guy. It's going to be a fun guy to play for. You know, Gus hadn't met Bernard Pierce until Friday after they claimed him off of waivers. Again, that's a little bit different. There's not so much of an outlay of cash in that regard. There's no guaranteed money with Bernard Pierce coming in. Nevertheless, I think he is a tremendous closer when given the opportunity. It's hard to believe anybody wouldn't want to play for him, all else being equal, but all else is not always equal. That includes money and the opportunity to play and the opportunity to win right away. You heard Gus use that phrase. We heard it all last season, the race to maturity. Here we go. Year three with this squad. Where does it stand?
You know, and you're trying to not have it happen 6 years from now. You want to happen in 2 years or 3 years. And that's the challenge for our team. We try to do things. We try to keep things simple as possible. We try to eliminate as many distractions as we can, all in a, you know, manner to try to speed up this race and to get guys to play consistently at a high level.
It's not about personal maturity. It's about football maturity.
As a team.
Right. You got all these young guys, Tony. The idea that they're all going to develop at the same pace and all like 3 years in. Wow. You've got this young nucleus and it's all ready now. Well, not necessarily.
No.
Some guys might get there ahead of time. Some guys might continue to lag behind.
No, they might. The big jewel in free agency, clearly Julius Thomas for the Jacksonville Jaguars coming in. The new playmaking tight end. Mercedes Lewis still a part of this roster. Gus Bradley was asked about how they may plan on using those two guys together.
Mercedes is a great run-blocking tight end and has the ability to, you know, extend the field as well. Julius, you know, it's kind of flipped. His traits are, you know, more the pass-catching, receiving-type tight end. And so, you know, to have those both guys on the field, I think is very intriguing.
Well, we'll see how intriguing it is. And our guess, I think it's fair to say, is that if Mercedes is on that field with Julius, it won't be at his current salary, projected salary for 2015. We'll see how that plays out. Gus, much like Dave Caldwell, asked about the addition of Bernard Pierce from the Ravens roster.
My meeting with him, I wanted to see you know, remorse, you know, or humility, you know, because I think that, you know, we all make mistakes, and not that it's right or wrong, but I think it's one of those things that, you know, and maybe it's to a fault of mine, you know, we feel like, okay, we can help. You know, we can help in this process and get them back on track. And I think the guys in our room and the guys in the locker room will help that process too. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But to me, it's another opportunity for another person to come in and compete.
Again, this audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com out this morning at the AFC Coaches Breakfast at the owners' meeting in Phoenix. And Gus Bradley obviously talking to a number of assembled media there, Tony. I don't know whether this has any play into it or not, but Gus uses it quite a bit. Humility. Jared Odrick, commented on this. One of the most appealing things about the message to a potential free agent and to himself was this sense of humility. Come in, don't think like you've got it. What does Gus say? The most dangerous three words are, I got this, right? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, humble yourself. Realize you, no matter how good you are, you've got some learning to do. Now, I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth. I'm just wondering, how does a picture of, let's say, a 30-year-old running back riding a camel at his self-thrown birthday party fit into that picture? You know what I mean? I mean, do you get the sense that Adrian Peterson has been humbled by his experience, or is he pissed off and he feels like he's been done wrong when he's the one that was found to have, you know, disciplined his child outside the bounds of normal accepted parameters?
It seems like a guy who apologized publicly because he knew that's what everyone expected him to do. Like, when the story broke the way it did, he was very unapologetic for what he did, right? And then when he saw just the firestorm it had created, he was like, yeah, I'll apologize for that. I've never gotten the sense that he was really sorry about it. And certainly watching a 30-year-old man ride into his own birthday party on a camel doesn't exactly create the picture of a guy who's got any remorse about anything he's done lately.
And to be fair, there are probably people in our listening audience right now that agree with Adrian Peterson, like, you should be allowed to discipline your child. Maybe you went a little bit too far, and they feel like that whole thing is overblown. I'm sure there are people that feel that way. But regardless, again, doesn't strike me as the most humble guy.
No.
It doesn't have to be the number one priority, but it seems to be a priority for this coaching staff and this organization to have that ability to assimilate yourself in as, quote, one of the guys. Ryan O'Halloran, certainly one of the many outstanding co-hosts we have here on Jaguars Today, out in Phoenix. So you're following him on Twitter and all his coverage at Ryan O'Halloran there and through the digital pages of the Florida Times Union today as well. What's up, Ryan? How are you, man?
Good, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. We assume with Gus Bradley wrapping up talking to some of the assembled media, you got a word with Gus in addition to that. And I know you had a chance to speak with Dave Caldwell yesterday. What's the overriding sense that you get from those guys on where things stand now, 2 weeks into free agency, and where the Jags are headed this offseason?
Well, I think, you know, there's sort of two cars still on the road. One, I think, is that veteran receiver. And really, there's one guy left, and that's Greg Jennings. You know, it would have to be at a price the Jaguars want, but they see him as being a slot guy, and his reputation as being great in the locker room with young receivers, and that's obviously what the Jaguars have. The other angle on free agency is going to be like guys like Ryan Walters that they sign. You know, they claim Bernard Pierce off waiver, so that kind of guy, you know, I'm sure they'll be piecemealing it a little bit as more guys get cut before and after the draft. If they like a guy, they'll bring him in.
The biggest name since the start of free agency at wide receiver that remains unsigned is Michael Crabtree. Ryan, do you get the sense that either A, they feel he's not a fit for the slot, B, his skills don't line up with his asking price, is he just not a fit here? Why seemingly no interest in Crabtree?
I think the skills part, he was sort of off their radar from the start. You know, he had the Achilles injury. I think a lot of teams, and obviously the Jags aren't the only team, they feel this, he doesn't run as well as he used to. And, you know, I think he's going to have to bring down his price significantly to land somewhere. And if you're him, you basically have 2 weeks to do it before the draft. So, but I don't think he was ever in the Jaguars' plans.
Ryan O'Halloran joining us from the Times Union. He's out at the owners' meetings in Arizona this week. And you had the chance to talk to Dave Caldwell yesterday about DeMarco Murray and the team's pursuit of that player. And to me, the conversation was less about specific pursuit of DeMarco Murray as much as just the general mindset of Dave Caldwell when it comes to free agents and his own line with players, and we've seen it in the contracts they gave to guys. What was your takeaway from that conversation with Dave Caldwell?
Well, when he sort of, you know, gave us some general thoughts on how high he went for DeMarco Murray, they were never going to get him. Oakland probably had the, you know, one of the high offers coming in, and you know, we'll probably never know what Dallas is offering. You know, Dallas and Jackson, we'll see how those two offers differed or were the same. So, I mean, it's from Dave's perspective, is hey, if he'll take our call, we'll express interest. We'll talk about a contract. But when he says $1 or $2 million per year less than Philadelphia offered, then it really wasn't a decision Murray had to make. And it just shows you that, hey, they value positions here. They're called defensive end, quarterback, cover corner, and not running back.
Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, our guest here on Jaguars Today this morning. Ryan, I don't know how much you really involve yourself in these kind of conversations, but sometimes you hear people talking about the franchise, or after Gus may address the media or Dave Caldwell, maybe there's some comments from some out-of-town media from our perspective. What do you get the sense is of how what the building process is happening in Jacksonville is going, and are they headed in the right direction, just from more of a national standpoint?
Well, they all love Gus. Because I had probably 5 or 6 taps on the shoulder during the session today. Guy would come in, ask a question about somebody, Gus gave him a great answer. Well, he's great. So from that perspective, they feel like, you know, they have the right guy there. But, you know, the national perception is, okay, they made the right decision going with a quarterback last year, because this year they may not have been available, and also may not be sold on Mariota or Winston. So the perception of a team changes when they feel they have the quarterback in place and when other people feel they have the quarterback in place. So they look at Julius Thomas, hey, good move. A lot of the other guys flew under the radar, a lot of money, but that's beside the point. That's what you have cap space for. But it's almost like, but now in the third year, you know, Gus is getting some questions, rightfully so, because we're asking him too, okay, what do you got to do to extend this and make sure you get a fourth year?
Ryan, since you're on the ground out there with the owners' meetings, I know the last 24 hours has been focused a lot on the Jaguars, even for you, but what's kind of the talk of the league right now, some of the rules changes maybe that are being discussed the most out there?
Well, I think, you know, the competition committee yesterday, you know, stayed ahead of the curve by saying their recommendation is that instant replay not be expanded to penalties. I think in time, and Rich McKay made a good point yesterday, these things are talked about for years at a time before they're actually passed. So is it next year that maybe defensive pass interference is a challenge call? Defenseless hits on a player, ditto for that. So that's the one. And then the fact that there's obviously a lot of talk about the Chris Borland retirement, and you ask people, other coaches, as they think this is an isolated incident, in which I would agree with them, but they also respect it. He could have held out for a couple of years, and not his heart wasn't really in it, and so they respect the decision he made.
You know, interesting, and I don't want to get too sidetracked on the Chris Borland thing, but I was listening to Hacker and T-Wig talk about this yesterday, and I think one thing that's overlooked in this, Borland said that even before the season started, he kind of pretty much felt like there was a good chance this is the way it was going to go. He was going to play 1 year, and then that would be it. And that's all great that he's given back the signing bonus. I don't think that's some big gesture. He owed them that money. He didn't earn that money. But what about the fact that they spent a third-round pick on a guy who already had it in his head that he might only play 1 year in the National Football League? I don't know what he's supposed to do, because if you put that out there, you're not going to get drafted at all, and you're probably not going to get the opportunity to play that year, or at least not on even footing. But I don't think he's as saintly in this situation as some what he's portrayed to be, Ryan.
I totally agree with you, Mike. And I think I think 32 other coaches would agree with us too. They just don't want to say it because they come off as more heartless than usual. But to me, is third round picks, second round picks, first round picks, that gets coaches and GMs fired, because that's where you find starters. The Niners thought they were finding a starter in the third round at linebacker, and he wasn't into it his first year. I mean, that part is from a team's perspective, you know, do you have to add, do you even have to you know, ask deeper questions during the pre-draft process. Make sure you're getting a guy who won't take a year of salary and then go into retirement.
Right. It's not the money, I don't think, for the 49ers. It's the fact that, wow, we just lost, like you said. You're expecting to take a starter or a significant contributor at that spot.
Yeah.
Ryan, in terms of the playoff expansion from 12 to 14 teams, do you get a sense that there is serious momentum for that? And what are we looking at, 2016 as the most likely alternative to institute that?
Well, it's interesting because it's not even out really on the agenda this week, which is shocking because this time last year there was a lot of momentum for it, and it seemed almost like a foregone conclusion that it would start 2015. You know, maybe they're taking a backseat, getting some other things, ironed up before they make another push for it to start in 16. But to me, maybe I'm in the minority here. I think it makes perfect sense because more football is better.
All right, well, follow the latest from the owners' meetings through Ryan O'Halloran's Twitter feed, at Ryan O'Halloran, and, of course, Jacksonville.com for all his Jaguars coverage there. What do you expect to be taking a look at over the rest of your time there? When are you heading back to Jacksonville?
Well, here in about an hour, we talk to Jaguars owner Shad Khan, so get his take on some things. And then tomorrow, it's a good day. All the NFC coaches are available, and I want to talk to John Fox about Julius Thomas and some other guys who, Mike McCarthy about Devon House. So we'll be able to move around and talk to those guys and then flying back tomorrow night.
All right, awesome. We'll look forward to that. What time are you going to talk to Shad?
It would be 10 o'clock Pacific.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. And we'll try to maybe catch up with you tomorrow and get the latest on what he has to say.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you. All right, there he goes. Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, doing a great job with his coverage from the owners' meetings. Likewise, Jaguars.com. We played some of that Gus audio. There's more to it. If you go to Jaguars.com, you can rewatch the entire AFC Coaches Breakfast to get all the audio and video of what's happening with Jaguar-related luminaries such as Dave Caldwell
and
Gus Bradley.
Yeah, he sat there for almost an hour.
Yeah, so there's plenty of it in there. And you'll hear what Shad Khan has to say coming up as well. And then, of course, tomorrow Ryan will rejoin us and give us his perspective of talking with the Jaguars owner. Today we asked you for your perspective on a potential scenario, a hypothetical scenario. Would you, if the Minnesota Vikings would be amenable, be willing to trade the 36th pick in the draft, the Jags' second-round pick this year, for Adrian Peterson and all that entails, including taking on the 3 years of his contract that he's owed right now, knowing full well, by the way, that he might not be happy making just that amount of money. $48 million ain't going to be enough. You're going to have to make him feel better about it, taking that money as well. So your thoughts on that coming up via social media. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
All right, Jaguars Today down the home stretch. XL Primetime, top of the hour. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Live at Everbank Field today, asking you in the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Whether or not you'd be willing to give up the 36th pick in the draft, that's what the Jags have in round two, fourth pick overall in round two. They alternate third pick in the odd-numbered rounds, fourth pick in the even-numbered rounds. Would you give that up to take on Adrian Peterson, who just wants out of Minnesota, Tony? Minnesota hasn't been good to him.
Right.
And he can't imagine why it would be a good situation. His agent said why that would be in his best interest to play in Minnesota. Really? I mean, I guess I shouldn't say he's not going to get more money somewhere else after Buffalo ripped up LeSean McCoy's contract and just simply gave him 33% more money to make him feel good. But I can't imagine a team giving up a draft pick and then saying, oh, sure, and we're going to pay you more on top of this to a 30-year-old running back, camel riding running back, such as Adrian Peterson. Nonetheless, what kind of feedback did we get today?
Here's what we got from the Duke of Duval. No thanks. Draft picks are too valuable. Think it's better if we draft one. From Brian, no, too much for an older back. From David, no, too much value with that pick. From Isaiah, nah, not ready to make a playoff push, and that would be the final piece. From Stevie, no, 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 no! From Irish Jaguar. From Michael, a 30-year-old running back with over 2,000 carries and 2,400 plus total touches. No, pick holds more value. From Bobby, no way. He's been a great player, but I'd rather draft a running back with that pick. From Black Dog, I'd put a big negatory on that one. That won't happen. Hashtag forget about it. From Nate, no, I'd rather draft our own superstars. From Eric, no, 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 no. Keep that pick and get a younger runner, hashtag younger mileage.
Yeah, I got no problem with the younger aspect of it, although the idea, well, I'd rather draft our own superstars, that's presuming you will draft a superstar with that pick. I mean, that,
odds are whatever running back you select is not going to be as good as Adrian Peterson.
At least in the short term.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You're not just building a team for the short term.
A Hall of Famer. Like, you're just not going to get a guy that's probably as good as Adrian Peterson, but that doesn't, you're factoring a bunch of other stuff in as well.
Tons of things in. If I were a team that felt I was that piece away, some did, but not many even got into the child abuse aspect of this. It was more just a straight football kind of decision. By the way, I got this tweet from at David J28 2002. Speaking of running backs, the New England Patriots have just three Brady era 1,000 yard rushers by committee works. Hashtag Jaguars today. Appreciate the hashtag. Sure it does. What's the component they got there? They got a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, do you think is Marshawn Lynch going to go to the Hall of Fame?
He could.
This wasn't even the Hall of Fame standard. It was a 1,000-yard rusher. They were a play away from winning consecutive Super Bowls with a team that's offense is driven through a bell cow running back.
Right.
You go over the last dozen years or so, I bet you find plenty of 1,000-yard rushers that won Super Bowls, right, and did very well. And there are, by the way, plenty of committee teams that didn't sniff the playoffs. I don't think there's – yes, it can work. Doesn't mean it does work.
Sure.
It doesn't mean it does work in every circumstance. The Steelers, did they do the wrong thing by making Le'Veon Bell a workhorse last year? Guy was phenomenal, and they're set to do it again. Did they win the Super Bowl? No, but was that because – they didn't have a running back by committee. It can work. There's no question it can work. You better have a lot of other components in place, and you better have a pretty deep stable of competent running backs to pull that off, too. And New England does have that.
No, they definitely do. When you look at, like, who's won the Super Bowl since basically New England started their run with the Patriots winning it three times, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning, the New York Giants and Eli have won it twice, the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, Green Bay 1-1 with Aaron Rodgers, Baltimore 1-1 with Joe Flacco in a pretty good running game there too, Seattle with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, and then the Patriots again. Look, the quarterback is the common element with those teams. It's that you're getting upper tier play from the quarterback position. That doesn't mean that the running game is unimportant. It just means that you have to have a solid to great quarterback in this era of football to be playing at that kind of level.
Which facilitates the committee working. If you're
right,
sitting there game playing against Tom Brady, you're game planning against Tom Brady. You're not saying, man, what am I going to do with Stephen Ridley today? All right. I mean, you'll get to that, but that's not your first concern.
No.
So then you can have a Stephen Ridley and a Shane Vereen and a LeGarrette Blount. And who knows? If Ridley stays healthy last year, maybe he becomes a 1,000-yard rusher last season. You just don't know.
I mean, Joe Flacco was great in that run for the Ravens, right? Ray Rice ran for 1,000 yards that year. I mean, you get those types of guys. You can have both. I don't think there's one way or the other to do it. I think a great quarterback elevates everything.
When the Ravens won the first Super Bowl, was Jamal Lewis, was that his 2,000-yard season?
It wasn't his 2,000-yard season. He did that later, but
he was definitely a 1,000-yard rusher. And he was a bell cow running back. That was his rookie year. That's right, that he did, that they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he didn't come out of the gates as 2,000. Look, it can work. I'm not saying it can't work. Somebody else pointed out the irony of, imagine if Adrian Peterson did come to Jacksonville. Poor Toby Gerhart. I can't get away from him, man. I just can't get away from him. The one opportunity I had, I get hurt in game one. You wonder, could Toby be a bounce back candidate this year? Could he be Justin Forsett with a different style? Justin Forsett brought in here not necessarily to be the guy, but got hurt, and when opportunity presented itself, he wasn't able to seize that opportunity. He goes to Baltimore last year, and he performs extremely well and gets a 3-year contract extension out of those guys.
Yeah.
Whereas, Toby comes in, gets hurt. Who knows? Given the right chance and an improvement in run blocking up front, and if he stays healthy, maybe he can be more of the guy they expected him to be. That doesn't mean we don't expect him to supplement that position throughout the draft. But that doesn't mean, even if they draft a guy in round two, that Toby can't play better given the opportunities he has. In fact, it may suit him better. As a part-time guy in Minnesota, he was outstanding on a yards-per-carry basis and a really good receiver out of the backfield. So hopefully he gets back to doing more of that stuff. As far as his career goes here. That does it for us. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran checking in from the Florida Times Union out there at the owners' meetings in Phoenix. Thanks to the folks at Jaguars.com helping provide us with a ton of great audio for you. Go to Jaguars.com for anything you may have missed with Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. Shad Khan coming up, and plenty more coverage there on the Jags official website. So that wraps it up for us here today. Back again tomorrow. Me and Fat Tony marching. Tomorrow will be one day shy of 5 weeks to the NFL draft.
Unbelievable.
It'll get here.
It comes, yeah.
It will get here. A week off did wonders for my timetable, by the way. Oh, look.
Apparently it did.
It's 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm hoping tonight on my show, by the way, to catch up with Ryan O'Halloran after his conversation with Shad Khan this afternoon, as well as Brent Beard's going to join me, talk a little bit about the tournament and some spring football getting started across the SEC, as well as some kind of draft talk. I think Tony Pauline's going to join me tonight.
Man, you're loaded tonight, Fat Tony. I think tomorrow either Rang or Brugler were efforting for to talk a little draft here as well. We'll get another live report from the owners' meeting as well. Probably talk to Rhino after you scoop us all tonight on Fat Tuesday. Good stuff coming up. And we're finalizing a couple of prospective Friday top fives.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll share our thoughts on those preliminarily with you tomorrow on that as well. All right, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars Today. Stick around, XL Primetime, coming up next here on 1010XL.